Should we get started or wait another minute?
Well, it is 6:35 and we have 8 guys. We can wait another 1 or 2 minutes because I know the other minion gets out late. I see Mickey's here. I haven't seen Michael Zacharias the whole week. I just think that the minion gets done very late. Feel bad. Sarah's like Seaburn, you know, so we should probably get started.
Yeah. Nate Sarah's like 7:12, so so they're not starting the early minion till about, to what, 6:05 this week?
Yeah, 6:05.
Okay. All right, so maybe we should get started.
Okay. Zech Nishmas Avi Murray, Yaakov and Yisrael Pilchas, Zech Nishmas Daniel Shein, Avasar Yeshua Falak. Okay. Okay, this week's parsha is parsha's Lech Lecha. I'd like to focus on one pasuk. Malki Tzedek Melch Sholem Hotzi Lechem V'Yayin V'Uchoin L'Kel Elyon. So that's Lechem V'Yayin. He brought out Lechem V'Yayin. So I think it's important to understand in Halacha what is Lechem and what is Yayin. We'll start with Lechem. If we have more time, we can discuss Yayin too. Because, you know, a lot of times we translate things in, you know, lechem is bread and yayin is wine. We know the simple, but in halacha, things get really are different than the what the colloquial translation would be of these things. Okay. So let us try to understand what lechem and yayin is. Okay. Lechem, we translate in Hebrew to mean bread. But really, it means, like Rav Schechter explained, it really means whenever you have flour and water and it's baked. That is lechem. Lechem is a baked product. So as Rav Schechter said, I think from Rav Soloveitchik, that even a cookie, al pi halacha, is called lechem. In other words, even though in modern Hebrew somebody would say a cookie is lechem, we think he's crazy. Now that's not lechem. That's uga, whatever you want to call it. But al pi din. Whatever something has flour and water and it's baked, that's lechem. The context Rav Schechter mentioned it in the context of Hilchas Challah, because in Hilchas Challah it says that you take challah when there's lechem. Hayam ba'ochel chami lechem ha'aretz. So, and as Rav Schechter pointed out, Pi Pashtus. If you have cookies, there's also chayev in challah. So you make a dough, you know, for cookies. You know, the Aruch HaShulchan has a leniency. If it's something that's made just for a snack, maybe, you know, there could be a leniency. But the simple pshat is, like Rav Schechter pointed out, is that anything that's has dough, you have water and flour and you make a dough and you bake it, that's lechem. And you make now Chazal said that the only time you make a hamotzi lechem in haaretz is on lechem that's made for a meal. In other words, as I said before, cookies is lechem. But yet we make mezonos on cookies. But we know that if you kovei sud on cookies, then the bracha changes, right? If you would eat a whole box of Tam Tams, you know, you're just munching away at the Tam Tams, and at the end of the day, you're full. So if you know that you're gonna do that in the beginning, then you would wash and make hamotzi on the tam-tams. Because, as we said, like as Rav Shechter pointed out from Rav Soloveitchik, because really it's baked products are lechem. You know, it's a funny type of halacha that, you know, Pasa Baba Kisnin, that where else do we have a halacha? If I eat a little bit, I make one bracha. I eat a lot, I make a different bracha. You eat a little bit of meat, you make a shakol. You eat meat till it comes through your nose, you still make a shakol. Because it's shakol. But the word is, as Rav Shechter explained, the word is that we, when it comes to baked products, it's all lechem. It's just that Chazal Lekoveya in Birkas Hanenin that we're going to divide the lechem in two parts. That the lechem that we eat as a suda, we're going to make hamotzi, and the lechem that we eat as a snack, we're going to make a mizonos. And therefore, if we'll take that mizonos and koveya suda on it, then we will make what? We'll make hamotzi. Because if it really wasn't lechem, then you can't, we know we'll find a precedent for this, that you eat a little bit, you make one bracha. You eat a lot, you make it, whatever the bracha is, right? But that's the, as Rav Shech said, from Rav Soloveitchik and on his own, that's the idea over here. Now, there is a discussion in halacha. What if instead of just having flour and water and bake it, you have additives to it? In other words, you put in apple juice in the baking, or you put a cheese on top of the dough, you know, or you have some, you make it into not a bread type thing, but like a cracker type thing, or a stiff type thing. So that's called Pasa Baba Kisnin. So then we say that then the bracha gets a mizonos, because it's a snack type thing. And then once you eat a lot of it, you know, you koveya suda, then it'll become hamotzi. Now, there is a big machlokas in the world between the Sephardic tradition and the Ashkenazic tradition. If you're a real hardcore Sephardi, if a hardcore Sephardi ever comes to your house for Shabbos, you know what he's going to ask you? You know what he's going to ask you, the hardcore Sephardi? Well, either he's going to bring his own water challah, or he's going to ask you to have water challah for him. Because he's not going to make hamotzi on regular challah. Why? Because regular challah is not just flour and water. It has eggs in it, you know, that gives it the geschmack. You know, water challah, you know, with all due respect, it's, you know, doesn't have such a geschmack, a taste to it. You know, so lemaisa, when you have a real hardcore Sephardi will say that I will make what? A mizonos on regular challah that most of us eat. Regular challah, egg challah. You know, you see, it has yellowish tinge to it, right? It's not just the flour and water. So a hardcore Sephardi will make a mizonos on that. So, what about the Ashkenazim? Well, what do they do? So the Ashkenazim say like this. Ashkenazim say that it's true that when you have additives, it changes the bracha from hamotzi to mizonos. But that's only if, as a result of the additives, now it becomes no longer a meal-type food, but a snack-type food. So therefore, then it will change the bracha, unless you eat a lot of it, and then you koveya suda. That's Pasa Baba Kisnin. In other words, the Sephardim say, no, the Sfarim are very rigorous. They say, we just look at the physical qualities. We just look at the physical qualities. If the physical qualities are altered, namely, that either that you made additives, not just flour and water, but you put fruit juice, or you put on the in the actual formation of the dough, or after you made the dough, you put an additive like cheese or meat or something like that, and you baked it, or it's no longer, it's a brittle type substance, like a cracker, and then it changes the bracha. That's what the Sfarim say. We just look at the physical characteristics. The Ashkenazim say no. It's not enough that the physical characteristics are different, but we need now that the whole gestalt of the food is different. Meaning now, it's no longer a type of food that you eat as a meal. You eat as a snack. So, for example, the challah that you're going to probably eat tonight, right? It's probably egg challah, right? Right. Most of us are not having water challah at the table. You know, we're not so good, so into that. You know, we try to, in our family, we try to have, whole wheat. We try to watch, whole wheat is good for you. You know, but it's not a water challah. It's not water challah. So we say that, so what that it's egg challah, that you have a difference in the formation. But bottom line is, it's not a snack type food. You're not eating the challah. That challah is not made as a snack. It's made as a meal type food. Even though the physical components are different. And that is the fundamental machlokus between the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim. So therefore, the Sfardim will make a mezonos on Arath the Challah that we eat tonight. They're going to make a mezonos. And if they come to your house, if you're going to have a Sfardi tonight at your house, well, now people aren't necessarily inviting people yet. Hopefully we'll get back to that when you actually have Shabbos guests or things like that, unless you're eating outside. But they're going to want to have their water challah. And we're going to say, okay, you can have your water challah, but we're still making a motzi on the egg challah. That's one thing. And the Sfardim also will say that, you know what? We're making a mezonos on matzah. You, Ashkenazim, you can make hamotzi. We only make hamotzi 7-8 days during the year for Pesach, because that's the lechem of the day. But you have matzah during... You want to take a little piece of matzah for snack? You want to take piece of matzah. You want to have a matzah. The Sfardim will make a mezonos on the matzah. Because why? Because it's a physical difference. It's not the fluffy type of bread. It's brittle. So that's one of those are the three opinions in the Shulchan Aruch of Pasa Baba Kisnan. Either, again, that there's an additive into the dough, or you made the regular dough, but then you put an additive on top, like meat or cheese, or it's the same flour and dough, but it's brittle, as Ross points out, and it's not, soft. So the Sfardim just look at the physical qualities, and the Ashkenazim look at the physical qualities have to cause a difference in now that it's no longer a meal-type food. So the Ashkenazim say, well, we have egg challah, but it's still a meal food. It didn't change the whole gestalt of the food. It's still a meal food. So therefore, we still make hamotzi. So this is a fundamental machlokus in practice between Ashkenazim and Sfardim.
All right, Simon.
Yeah.
I remember hearing from Rabbi Nyman that they brought two boxes in front of Moshe Feinstein, one of Melba toast and the other was Melba rounds. They have the exact same ingredients, but he looked at the box and one showed a picture of the Melba toast being used as a bread, and the Melba rounds showed a picture of it being like a snack. And so he asked, one was amotzi and one was mezonos. somebody said later he was Hozer on that, but I thought that was very, very interesting. Exact same product, but just one is round and one is
right. So that's a question of whether that would make a difference or not. You should know that many years ago, it was in like 1991, Rav Avadia Yosef came to YU for a whole week. So I had a chance to speak to him. My friend Rabbi Harari, we sat down with him for like an hour speaking halacha. And he told me that even though he wrote a tshuva about the practice, Sephardic practice, to make mezonos on matzah the whole year round except for Pesach, he himself does not do that. He himself makes hamotzi on matzah the whole year. So in the back, you know, he's really a closet, he has some closet Ashkenazic practices. And Rav Abadi, Rav Yitzchak Abadi from Lakewood also told me that he makes, you know, he also follows that Ashkenazic approach of making hamotzi on, you know, on, similar to what the Ashkenazim do. That they don't just look at the physical part, they look at whether it's going to be a snack type food or a meal type food. And this, and the other part of this discussion, of course, is pizza. Because pizza is a dough, and then you put the cheese on top of it and you bake it. So technically speaking, if you're a Svardi, so then for sure it should be, you know, if you're part of the Sephardic tradition, then the snack, any time you have a different physical construct of the food, you make mezonos. And Ashkenazim would make hamotzi. It's just that Ashkenazim have a debate whether it's still, is it meal type food or is it snack type food? Not whether you eat it as a meal or a snack. What do most people use pizza for? And if most people use it as a meal, then even if you're using it as a snack, it'll still be a mozi. So even if you have one, say sometimes in the middle of the day, someone will get one slice of pizza. So if you hold that pizza is, so if you're a Sephardi, then for sure you should make a mezonos. You know, if you follow that tradition. Of the, for sure you should make mezonos, and if you're an Ashkenazi, then if you determine that in your locale most people eat it as a meal type food, then even if you're going to eat it as a snack, it's still a motzi, and if most people consume it as a snack, then it'll be a mezonos unless you eat a lot of it. So that's the. That's the story of the so that's a very important machlokas, you know, with the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim. I'll tell you. Let's, before we say some divrei agada, let's just talk about wine for a second. You know, so wine is, you know, you squeeze grapes, you get wine. So the Gemara says in Bava Basra. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanovim for Omer Avalov Kiddush Hayom. You take a grape, you squeeze it, you can make Kiddush. So what's the Kiddush? The Kiddush is, even though it didn't ferment yet. But what? You make Bari Priya Gafim. So it's mamish what we would call today grape juice. You just squeeze the grapes, you have the wine, but it didn't ferment yet. You just were soaking it. Obviously, you weren't soaking it on a Shabbos. You were soaking it the day before. You make Bari Priya Gafim. So there's a big discussion that about this. Because, you see, over there, it's not pasteurized, the caves of the Gemara. So it still could ferment. The question is, the grape juice of today, what's processed, it's pasteurized. So some want to say, if it can't potentially ferment, then it's not Bari Priya Gafim. And that was a big machlokas. Big machlokas. Whether you, and the grape, there was the case of the Gemara was also grape juice, but then you didn't do anything to it. You didn't put anything in the grape juice to stunt the ability for the grape juice to what? To ferment and intoxicate. It's so interesting how the world changes. I'll tell you something I heard from Rabbi Zvulun Charlap, who was the, She Should Live and Be Well, who was the Menahal of the yeshiva here. So he said to me, not to me, he said, whoever he was speaking to, he said the following, that years ago, and he has a perspective, you know, from many years ago. He said, you know what one of the big divides between Orthodoxy and conservative Jews were? That Orthodox Jews would not use grape juice for Kiddush, and conservative Reform would use grape juice for Kiddush. That was one of the big divides. You think about that. Today, all the Hasidim and all the everyone, no one even questions it for a second. Because they held, again, that our grape juice perhaps is not going to theoretically intoxicate anymore, even if you leave it for some time. And therefore, it's not Bari Paragofen anymore. It's not Bari Paragofen. The case in the Gemara is that you just squeezed it, but you didn't do anything to it. You didn't add anything on it. You didn't pasteurize it or anything. So then, even though you didn't reach the stage yet that it ferments and intoxicates, but that's the Gemara says. You can make Kiddush. You make a Bari Paragofen. But that doesn't mean that applies. So that became, so there's a Tzalim Arav, and I think Rav Moshe also. Today it became accepted that somehow it could be ferment in the future. And Rav Henkin wrote a whole tshuva about the, you know, that it's not so poshut, you know. But it's interesting, this question, you know. And I'm still, in my hearts of hearts, I'm not so convinced that the old minhag is wrong. I'm not here, again, I'm not going to fight the world. You know, the world today accepted. Somehow, even though 50, 60 years ago, only conservative Jews were making Kiddush on. But here, every frum Jew, whether you're modern Orthodox or Yeshivish or Hasidish, they're all making, using, for Kiddush and Havdalah and things like that. Okay, so they'll use wine too. But no one will even question it today. But you should realize that it's not a simple thing. One last thing about bread and wine is that we know that bread paters other foods. In other words, when you make a motzi, now you don't make a bracha on everything in the meal. You just, except like Rav Badin says, if it's a snack type food. But all meal, when you have chicken now, for tonight you're going to have a motzi, then you're going to have chicken and potatoes and timis or whatever you're going to have. You're not going to make a bracha on those. On the dessert, that's a separate discussion, that snack time foods might not be covered. But people don't realize that when you make a Bari Paragofen of wine, you also, and then you're going to have soda later. Say at Kiddush, you made the Bari Paragofen, and then you can have soda. You can have crackers, you can have soda. Then the pashtus is, the halacha is that you don't make a shahakol on the soda. Because just like bread paters food, so wine paters mashkin. But there's a big machloikis in the poiskim. Maybe that's only if you koveya on wine. In other words, you ever see sometimes people get together and they have wine just to have wine, right? You know, wine, you know, the koveya just on wine. So some say maybe that halacha only applies to that scenario. But if you're still having one cup of wine, maybe it doesn't. But others say, no, even on one cup of wine, you don't make a shahakal on the... So that's why it's very important when you have a kiddush, you should give out what? You should give herring. Herring, at least, or tuna egg salad. Because the herring, for sure, you'll make a shahakal. Because it's not a mashke. So even though you drank the... In other words, the shayla is only on the person who's drinking the wine. So if you drink the wine, so then You don't. So it's a shaila. How much wine do you have to drink in order to pater the mashkim? So it's a big machlokes. So to avoid this machlokes, if you have herring, then you're good, because herring is a shahakol, but it's not a mashke. So that's why at a kiddush, I always try to look for a little herring to make a shahakol, and then when I have the soda or whatever I have later, I already made my shahakol, because if I don't have the herring or the egg salad or something like that, then it's going to be, and I drank the wine, then it's going to be a big shaila whether I can make a shahakol on the soda or not. So always at a kiddush, give an alternative to the people so they can have another shahakol other than the soda or whatever. So that's a big yisod. But these are from some fundamentals, both fundamentals about bread and fundamentals about wine. There's a fundamental about the machlokas, the svardim, and the ashkenazim, regarding egg challah, and regarding pizza, and regarding matzah, right? Whether you just follow the physical characteristics, or or it also has to change the whole gestalt of the food. And the other question about the wine is grape juice, modern grape juice today, is that wine? And generally we said, because it didn't ferment, but it doesn't have to ferment. That's a Beferish Gemara. But the question is, it at least has to potentially ferment. And that's the question, whether the grape juice today potentially ferments or not. And that was a big machlokes. And as I told you, that's what Rabbi Chalap said. Only that was a big divide. And it's interesting how things change. People today don't even realize that it was even a shaila. That's what makes it so interesting. Forget that all the Orthodox Jews are having, you know, it for Kiddush and Havdalah. They don't even realize that this was like a big machlokes and a big question in halacha, which was long forgotten. And okay, it's interesting to see in different generations what the tumult of that generation was. You know, what was the tumult 20, like Rabbi Willick said, was a tumult 20, 30 years ago. Today, it's already finished. We have Klal Yisrael always finds, you know, something to fight about. Don't get me wrong. Nothing will always, the fights change of what like Rabbi Willick said, what the hot item of the time is. Okay, as we mentioned today, of lechem at Shabbos. So there's an interesting question. You know, the Gemara says in Pesachim and Samaches that you have had a question. What are you supposed to do on Shabbos and Yontif? Right, Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether you're supposed to cut the day in half. Half of the day you're supposed to be davening and learning. Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. And the other half of the day, you could be eating. Right? So Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. And the other opinion is you have a choice. You can either do Kula Lashem or Kula Lachem. You could decide you want the day to be all davening and learning, you know, and some hold you could even fast. And or Kula Lachem, that you'll daven a little, you know, of course you'll daven, but basically you'll be eating the whole day. But the Gemara says there's certain days. There are three occasions in the year that you have to have a suda. You can't say kulu l'Hashem. Shabbos, Shavuos, and Purim. You look at a Gemara in Pesachim on Samaches. Kol modim b'Shabbos debino l'Hashem. Everyone knows the famous Gemara of Shavuos, but like Rabbi Chalap points out from the Shol Meisher, people forget that the Gemara says Kol modim b'Shabbos debino l'Hashem. Hakol modim b'Shavuos debino lachem, hakol modim b'Purim debino lachem. So why these 3 days? What's so special about Shavuos, Shavuos, and Purim? So the Binyan Shlomo. Binyan Shlomo was Rosh Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna. He was one of the big Dayanim in Vilna. And he writes like this, a beautiful word. It says in the Shiltas, Rav HaChaigon, that's the first Sefer that was written after the Gemara. He says, when a person builds a house, and he goes into his house for the first time, so he's supposed to have a suda Chanukah Sabayis, right? You have a new Chanukah Sabayis. You're making a new shul, a new house. So Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So it's Logara from of a new house. So therefore, we have a Suda on Shabbos. You have to have a Suda on Shabbos because you have to celebrate the creation of the world. HaKol Modim B'Shabbos, the Be'inim Amilachem. But we know that the world was in flux, that if Klal Yisrael wouldn't accepted the Torah, the world would have gone back to Tov Avoh. So we had to accept the Torah. So on Shavuos, we have to have another Suda. Why? For the same reason on Shabbos. The Chanukah Sabayis, the Chanukah Ha'olam. But you know what, Rabbi Osai? The world was in flux even after Shavuos, because the Gemara says that it was under duress. Kafaleim Harki Gigas. So the world was in flux even after Shavuos because the Kabbalah Sator wasn't complete because it was under duress. Then Hadar Kiblu Abimeach HaShverosh, and they had another Kabbalah Sator in Purim, and that solidified the world, and hence another Suda in Purim. And therefore, those are the 3 days, I mean, Shabbos is every week, obviously, but I should say the 3 occasions where we need to have what? A Suda L'Kuli Alma. You can't say, you know, that's why people always talk about it. It's counterintuitive. You would think Shavuos is a day of Kabbalah Satorah, so that should be the day that if I want to opt to spend the whole day learning and davening and not eating, I should be able to do that. And we say no. There's a lot to say about that. But Shavuos is one of the 3 days. I mean, again, Shabbos, Shavuos, and Purim. Because these are the days that the world was created or solidified, and therefore a kol modim that you need to have a suda on these days. So it's interesting. I'm giving shiurim now. You know, it's just to end off with one last thing. That part of the idea of the sudas on Shabbos is that on the weekday, on Friday, I should say Friday, today, we have to minimize the sudas. People don't realize there's a halacha that on Friday, say I want to make a going away party. Somebody is leaving, and we want to make a party Friday morning. We're going to make a special suda for him, a special suda for or some. It's on Friday. See, the halacha is you're not allowed to do that even on Friday morning, because it's not covered for Shabbos to go ahead. And make, see, if you have a lunch, regular lunch, you can have lunch. You have lunch every day. But doing something, and if you have a bris milah that came out, my son, my bechor, his bris milah was on Friday. He was born on, he was born on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and the bris was Erev Shabbos Brachos. So we had a, you know, in the morning we had a, but it was a nice, you know, it was, you know, a nice suda, like a suda's bris. But that you're allowed to do because it falls out this day. But if you want to pay, I once had a whole question with somebody in the family. They wanted to make a party for somebody in the family, like a special birthday party or something like that, on Erev Yontif in the morning. And they said, and the reason why I was so against it is because the Gemara says in Gittin, the Lamed Ches, that people who do these, make these sudas on Friday, it doesn't say positive things of what happened to the family. You know, this family was nekar. So that's why I'm very makbid on this halacha not to have a suda she'ena regila on Friday. Some there's one limitzchus, some poskim hold that it's only if you serve wine, intoxicating beverages. But the pashas is not necessarily. If you have something, you know, a lavish meal, sometimes like, especially in a Friday morning, especially, you know, in the summer, before they change the clock, when it's a bigger day, people don't even realize it's a question. But you're not supposed to, it's covered Shabbos, you're supposed to leave, Shabbos shouldn't be a day that you're having something out of the ordinary. Out of the ordinary. You shouldn't have something out of the ordinary on Friday, because that takes away your focus from Shabbos. And Shabbos is the, is, you know, is that special kedusha of Shabbos. So even though You know, it's in the morning even, right? You would think the morning, well, what's wrong with the morning? But that's the Shabbos is special. We have special sudas on Shabbos and special, you know, things on Shabbos to have the Kedusha Shabbos, of the creation of Shabbos. So that's something that's very important. And I always like to stress, you know, that the Zohar HaKadosh says that all the bracha of the week comes from Shabbos. Ki makor habracha, we say in Lechadodi. But it's a Zohar. Kol brachasa l'le'elo otasa b'yom ha-shvitalyan. That all the bracha that we have in the coming week all comes from Shabbos. That's why I tell people, don't rush to end Shabbos. You know, maybe we should talk about it another shir. You know, the Rabbeinu Tam, well, we discussed it the other week, right? Rabbeinu Tam Shita, you know, to keep a long, you know, the longer you keep, it's good. Because if it's the generator of bracha for the week, if it's the generator of bracha for the week, so the bigger the generator is, the more hatzlach you have for the week. People should realize the kedusha of Shabbos in the mitzvahs lo sase. But there's so much about the positive aspects of Shabbos. That Shabbos, and that's the time of lechem. Malchitzedek melech sholem hotzi lechem b'yayin. So we should have lechem, we should have yayin, we should, and now, you know, we're going to change the clock soon, and it's going to be, Shalosh Shudos is going to be, you know, not an easy thing. So, you know, and the idea being that Shalosh Shudos is the real mitzvah, you have to enjoy the Shalosh Shudos. So you should already try to balance the day, so then the time that Shalosh Shudos comes around, you'll have at least some appetite for it. Because it's not a, like we said, the Chasam Sofer says, the only mitzvah of Achila we have left in the Torah, Bezman Hazeh, we don't have Korbanos, we don't have Truma. The only mitzvah of Achila we have Bezman Hazeh is Matzah on Leil HaSeder. Because that's a mitzvah Achila. Shabbos is not a mitzvah Achila. It's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It's just most people enjoy eating. That's most normal people. Enjoy eating. So that's normal. But if you don't enjoy it, so you're really not fulfilling the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Matzah, even if you don't enjoy the matzah. Even when you enjoy the matzah, you got to eat the matzah. Unless you're going to get, you know, sick. You know, that today everyone's, you know, discussing celiac and things like that. You know, that's why, you know, Cheerios, they advertise we're gluten-free now. We're gluten-free. So that, you know, because of all the people that are celiacs and things like that, that they can't have. So many, you meet so many people they can't have. So Baruch Hashem, if you're a person that's not celiac, so you should, you know, make sure to have the proper suda of lechem, yayin, and this, and because, and to be makpid, that part of the idea of having the beautiful suda on Shabbos is not to have a beautiful suda on Erev Shabbos. In other words, Erev Shabbos, okay, if there's a bris, we have the bris. But if it's not a bris, and it's not something that comes out that day, so you should only have a suda that you're rugel. Like you eat lunch every day, you could eat lunch on Friday. But you want to make a special party, a fancy spitz thing for some occasion that is not necessarily fell out today. But it's a convenient day. Say it's a convenient day. So if it's a convenient day, you want to have, yeah, no. That's a big problem, that lacking of covered Shabbos by so part of, so that's the lechem v'yayin, Malki Tzedek Melch Sholem Hotzi lechem v'yayin. And there's a question, as we said, what is lechem, what is yayin? But whatever, once you figure that out, we should have lechem v'yayin. Even the kiddush, where the minhag that we have today is everyone drinks from the kiddush. Everyone drinks a little bit, even though it's not a chova to do it, but it's a minute. The rush brings down that everyone drinks from the, you know, kol shel bracha. So Be'ez Hashem, we should all be kayim, not only the losa says of Shabbos, but the essays of Shabbos, and we should all be zoiche to that the bracha of Shabbos should emanate throughout the whole week in the future. And I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and good to see you all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good to see everyone.
You should have Bima Erev Shabbos.
What?
Should make a Siyum Erev Shabbos?
Oh, excellent question. An excellent question. So some poskim, that's a whole, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas on poskim. The Bir Halacha discusses it, and the, right, so some poskim don't hold you shouldn't have a Siyum in Erev Shabbos. I mean, it also could depend on what you're going to serve at the Siyum. You know what I mean? Like, people at the Siyum, if they just serve a couple of cookies, you know, even though cookie, you know what I mean? That depends. If you're going to make a lavish Siyum, so that could be a whole discussion. You know, if you're going to just serve, like in the shuls on Erev Pesach, they serve, you know, a couple of cookies and a kichel or whatever they do. So that's, but if they're going to, but sometimes you see, you go to a Siyum, your mamish, well, like somebody makes a Siyum Ashas, so somebody makes a Siyum, and you want to do it Erev Shabbos. That's a whole discussion in the poskim. Okay, you should all have a good Erev Shabbos.
Thank you.
A good Shabbos. Okay, Kol Tov. Okay, Kol Tov. A good Shabbos to all.